Well, praise God. I'm excited to share what I'm going to share with you guys today because it's a really big part of what I do ministry-wise, and just felt compelled to share this message with you guys. I know obviously we have a number of families that are out, and it's going to be like that, obviously, as the time has changed and the ability to travel is now. It's like the snow is gone, the passes are open, and let's go, huh? And so be able to just understand that, all right, man, we have a lot to do, a lot to see, and to know where God is going to take us. I've had just so much fun with the opportunity that my wife, again, now working for Delta, gives us the freedom to fly anywhere. And I'm looking forward to, I'm working on getting my passport. I have never left the country. I've never had a passport. I always had the mentality because of so many years doing the ministry that we do that I don't really need to travel anywhere because our ministry composed of working with all of our language groups, especially there in the west side of Salt Lake. And the whole world is right there, 117 different languages right in one neighborhood. And so when you think of it in that mindset, it's like, I don't have to go. I mean, just for those of you that don't know, Fabian, he's my partner in time, not crime, right? Crime before, but time now. He's my partner in time here. And so Fabian and I, for years, have been working together in the aspect of targeting people in the community. One of these days, I'm going to have. Fabian, when he can join us to come and share his story, his testimony with you. It's really, really powerful to see what God is doing in him. I do get the joy as he is now pursuing Bible college, and I am. He asked me to be a mentor in part of one of his classes that he's taking. He needed someone to help kind of walk with him week to week as far as this classes and to see what God is doing in ministry with him, where he's led. Ministry in the jail ministry and Bible studies for many, many years, and also Celebrate Recovery. For those of you not aware, it's a program that targets people with addictions, and he has gone. And so we're talking again as far as we're pursuing this ministry, this new outreach that we're targeting in that Lake Park apartment area to see what we can do to go right in. If we it's able to start a Friday night service, the ability to have a Celebrate Recovery mindset just right before we would have that service. So having people within community know there's a place you can go and talk about addictions and dealing with your issues and so on. And you're absolutely right. I think everybody in this room has got one aspect of addiction or another. So it isn't just drugs. A lot of people think when you think addiction, you're thinking alcohol and drugs, and it's far from that. So Celebrate Recovery is really celebrating just who you are in Christ and what God can do in you. So I ask you, and maybe I should have threw that out in prayer, but it takes so long for me to say all this. But just as you keep in mind of what we're trying to do as far as the outreach with the Dream Center there in that targeted area of Lake Park, just right down the road here on Redwood Road, but 2500 South. That's the area that we're hitting. And to do a Friday night service there. And with the intent to get a building, with the intent to put a ministry like Fabian's in there. And I'm saying all this only because Fabian, you're here. So I just want to, just to say, hey, you guys keep us in prayer as we're going and we're reaching and targeting those that we can. And so, well, the area that I'm sharing with you today goes right along with what I just stated now, and I'm calling it and referring to it as community. Community, and for so many people, means so many different things. And I believe that you and I have the ability to go in, something similar, you may have said, well, I've heard this before from you, Alfred, because you're hearing my heart. The ability, you have the ability to literally go into any setting and to change that atmosphere. You have it for this new school that you're going to go to. And it's not walking in arrogantly, it's not walking in conceited, it's not walking in any other manner other than knowing, okay, we've prayed, God go with me. And as God goes with you, you change the atmosphere. And I wanted to hit and emphasize this because this is something that as each one of us goes our respective ways from this room, we literally go into our own separate communities. And I'm not referring just to the neighborhood that you live in, but into the world that you have influence in. You have influence in places I cannot go to. There's no way that I could even have any kind of impact among your friends, among your neighbors, among anyone that you're around, because you're the only one that God has gifted and have that strength and ability to do that. As you're a part of different opportunities to be in, let's say, their lives, let's say, for example, the gym next door, the impact as people come in, and the impact that, Steve, that you and the crew are making and going in there and reaching these guys, you develop a community. That's a great thing when you know that you can develop a community, and even more so, again, I'm trying to emphasize, when you go into a community, let's say one that's already established, you could literally change the atmosphere there. Not because of you, but because of He who's in you. I believe in this. I run with this. Again, it's something, it's a fine line between making sure I'm not thinking it's about me, because I'm here, life changes now. But because I believe that He is a lamp unto my path, and that He goes before me, and that He's literally at where I'm going. He's already there. As I walk in Him, I'm able to see where we can go. So the scriptures I wanted to share with you today is out of James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But we're, as you know me already, we're going to go all over the place. All right, so verse 17, chapter 3, book of James. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. I wanted to then read that same passage of scripture through the Message version, which, again, for those of you that are not accustomed to the Message version, it is not considered really a version that people of scholars or any other would use, but it is meant for, it was a grandpa who wrote and translated what I just read to you into a version that his own children could understand. And so many, I've probably said this to you before, but you know, if you have a King James Bible, the King James Bible is geared for those that are 10th grade and above, learning in that capacity, college level, and so on. NIV version, which I just read to you, is meant for 8th grade and above. But what I'm going to read to you here is meant for elementary age kids, but at the same time, it's at a version in a place where a lot of us could say, hey, I understand where you're going with that. So let me read 17 and 18 out of the Message version. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next. Not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. So basically what the NIV version read, this kind of just broke it down into more of a his own words, and into just his thoughts. But I love the way he was thinking. I love just how you opened up with that. It's not directly from the Bible, but here's a thought that I want to share with you. Kind of same concept with the, when you read the Message version, it's kind of more like, this is his version or his thoughts towards the scripture. But I love what it says here at the end here. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. When I started chewing on that for a little bit, I realized that it wasn't saying only if you do the hard work of making sure everything gets done. In other words, you think about a community. I'm going to go into, I'll use the example, I'm going into Lake Park Apartments. While it's a challenging apartment complex, there's a lot of trash. Every time I bring a short-term mission team group to go in, we have to pick up trash. And there are times that we have to pick up drug needles that are on the ground where the kids play, so the kids could play and play safe. So I could think, well, the hard work is for me to go in and pick up all the trash. The hard work is to paint over all the graffiti. the hard work is to pick up all the furniture that everyone left at the dumpster and thinking somebody else could throw it away for me. The hard work is picking up, and excuse me in this reference, but I got to tell you, just be real. There is so many pit bulls in the apartment complex, and many times I'll have to bring a team, and we're picking up shovels of poo. Some of you say, no big deal. You know, you got horses, it's bigger. I know, but, you know, it's just, but here I'm talking about, it ain't the prettiest thing when you're trying to pick up drug needles and dog poop where kids are supposed to be playing. Okay, so I think I'm doing all the hard work, organizing teams and trying to go all in there. And I'm feeling good about it because things are getting, we're going to put up a basketball court. We're going to put up this. You know, we could talk all about the hard work we're putting into it. But that's not what the Bible's saying about changing a community. Tearing down the old building and putting up a new building and maybe tearing down the old bad stores that shouldn't be there and putting in new stores and having this a business economy mindset to community redevelopment. And he's saying that's not how you change a community. You don't change it by changing the building. You don't change it by changing the atmosphere as far as how it looks. He goes, you change it because you now, here's the hard work, are getting along with those people you're trying to reach. If you want to see change happen, it isn't because of the atmosphere to change. It's because of you yourself has changed. I know you probably said, oh, we've heard this before. I just wish they would change. Well, they're only going to change when you change. That person is only going to change. The atmosphere around you is only changed when you now take a different approach to what's going to happen. When you start loving on the people in the world that you're trying to see, I wish they would change. Students here, your schools, family, you know, Fabian's trying with the family and friends that he's targeting. Every one of us here got a world and in a community that we can go into, and man, I just wish it would change. I think you said you agreed, or you were in line with what Fabian was saying, but just whatever the issue may be, for all the prayer requests that we have, we want change, therefore that's why we pray. Oh God, please change the atmosphere, change the setting. And here, as I read this correctly, it's the idea that I need to change so that I'm giving a different perspective of what's really important. It isn't the community itself with all the buildings and so on. It's the idea that I actually love and care for the people I'm trying to reach. Do you know I can make more change in, using those examples, Lake Park Apartments, if I went in there and just started loving on the people? Let's say I never picked up trash, never picked up poop, never washed the wall, never did anything. But the fact that I went in and just started loving those people, more change could happen in that community than any other. Everything else I mentioned about what's going to happen in this community is the result of loving on those people. Why am I even bringing this up? Why is even James bringing this up? Because sometimes there is a mindset of thinking, look, I'm just going to go in there and I'm going to help. You know, I talk to our short-term mission team. I talk to our short-term mission groups that come in, and I say to them this. I said, there are two ways to serve. One way we serve, another we don't. Mindset, it's mindset. I said, community serving we do not do. And that sounds confusing because it's like, what do you mean? We're trying to be a community. This is how I explain it. I've had kids, teenagers, that would come to me. I've been doing this 17 years. And last year we served over 700 kids from out of state. And kids would come to me and they'll just say, hey, give me a broom. Give me a rake. I'm ready to go and clean up that place. Missions, yeah. And they get all pumped and excited. We're going to tear it up for Jesus. And I say, whoa, hold on. We got to take a moment and pray. Oh, no, I don't got no time for prayer. I'm going to go and pull weeds, man. I'm going to go and do this, and I'm going to paint a wall. I'm going to build this. I'm going to do that. I said, no. We need to take time, and we need to pray because we need to have God's guidance before we go in there. We got to have God's blessing before we go in there. We got to have a connection with God before we go do something. And so I would tell them this. Community serving we don't do. Community serving is this. I'm coming from my community to your community, and you should be thankful that I'm coming to your community because your community really needs it. And I left the joys and splendors of my community so I could be in your community. And I'm going to clean your community, and I know that you're going to feel better, because once you look at your community, you're going to feel better about it. And then I'm going to go back to my community, and I'm going to give myself a high five and slap myself in the rear and say, good job, and I'm going to go and have a good time. I go, that's the kind of serving we don't do. We do family-style serving. Family-style is different. Family-style says, I'm coming from my family to join your family. And together, we're going to work as a family to see the difference in this community. Together, we're going to connect with God, our Father, family. And we're going to allow Heavenly Father, God our Father, to come and to help us become and create a family atmosphere here within this place. Yes, things will get done. Things will be cleaned. Things will be said. But the most important thing is that our family community now is based on family, not distance, not where I live and where you live. You guys, I've always run on this acronym, TRUST. True religion, urban, suburban, together. What is true religion? The Bible says truly, true religion is helping the widows and the orphans, the purest of religion. Helping those that are in need, helping those that don't have, helping those, making my own attempt, my wife and I, to help my neighbor, when even though she's not a widow, but her husband's out. And so I mentioned to you during the winter, I'd shovel her snow. She was the one that we would help her out, because as a single mom trying to, shovel snow, and as much as where we got, it was crazy. Doing what we can to help those that just need that extra help. Why is James hitting on this? Because in the community there where he was dealing with, there were people that have a tendency to just look down on everyone else. And because of the means of good work that they would do, they'd lift themselves up. I believe there is a way that we could do this correctly. I believe, and this is not just, I'm just using Lake Park Apartments for my example. But what about your place where you're going? You want to see change happening in that setting? See, do you understand that God has given you the gift of reconciliation? We've talked about this in the past. The gift of reconciliation, it's something where you and I understand clearly that God helps us to be able to go and to work into a setting, into a community, and bring back together that which once was. To reconcile. As you know, in the English language, anytime at all you put R-E in front of a word, it's basically saying we're going to put it back together the way it was, the way it should have been. If you even think of the word resurrection, as we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection, you put that R-E, what is it? To resurrect, to see life come, but not just the way it was, but to see it better. You see, when we go into a community and we're going to go in, I believe that when someone built a particular neighborhood like Lake Park, they didn't build it with the mindset and vision that one day we're going to have drugs and gang members and all that. No, they built it like this is going to be a great apartment. This is going to be a great place. This is going to be a great thing. But then sin came in. Now we're hoping to go in and reconciliate that community, reestablish that community. We could do what we can to reach into that community. Now, I could go ahead and hate. I can go ahead and hate those kids for what they're doing. But I'll never reach the community then. I could clean it up and do whatever. But I have to go in and fall in love with those families unconditionally and know that I could reach them. In one of our buildings in the Glendale area, we used to get tagged on our building quite a bit in the beginning. After a while, when those kids in the neighborhood found out that we were doing everything we can to reach these kids, the building became theirs, and they protected it. No longer were we having graffiti, but once in a while, we would have someone come and just tag it again. From the apartments to the 7-Eleven, they all walked right through our parking lot. And I remember one time, we were in church, and we drove up, and we were tagged pretty hard. And usually what happens when we get tagged, is because there's a new person in that doesn't know, and they're trying to make a statement. We come, and there was some foul words, and it was pretty bad. But at that moment, as we're all driving into church, you know, we got whatever paint, and there was some guys in the church, and they were trying to paint over some of the bad words. One of the older gentlemen inside the church, he was so angry. I can't believe they would defile the temple of God. I can't believe they would do this very thing. I can't believe, and just went on and on and on. Those kids need to be in jail. Those kids, whatever, whatever. And just went on and on and on about the hatred and the anger towards these kids. I couldn't take it anymore. You see, a week before, that gentleman, as we, in the auditorium, we would bring our snacks and our coffee and our, just like we have snacks here. And that gentleman accidentally, his foot hit the coffee and it spilt on the ground. And that stain was there. As a matter of fact, there were other people that came to try to pick it all up, but the stain was still there. And he saw it. I saw him look at it and just walked away. And so I couldn't take any more of his anger towards these kids in the neighborhood that I finally said to him, stop. You know, just kept going. I said, stop. I go, you're just like him. Now, I'm usually respectful to all, especially my elders. And this gentleman was in his 70s, and I couldn't take it no more. And I said, look, you're just, and he got offended. What do you mean I'm just like them? I said, what are you mad at? This is the temple of God. And this is, I said, no, I understand. I go, but you spilt that coffee last week, and that coffee stain is still there. It's all dried up now. You made no effort to even clean it. You made no effort to even think about cleaning it. I go, what's the difference between that coffee stain and the stain out on the building on the outside? And boy, I'll tell you, he got so upset with me. Never saw him again. Because he understood. You did the same thing they did. So the way we would do it is we would go into the community with the kids, and I would ask, because all those kids knew us. We took care of them. We did after-school programs. And I'd ask them, hey, who's the one that tagged us? And they all would go like this, you know, without trying to get busted, you know, because you know snitches get stitches, right? So they didn't want us to. So they were just kind of like, you know, this one over here. So sure enough, whether it was myself or one of our leaders or whoever, we'd go up to them and we'd say, hey, we're looking for the guy who tagged our building. And we kind of keep walking up to a kid. I said, so I'm asking you, help me out. If you have an idea who that is, let them know God loves them. The only reason that they hurt our building is because they're hurting themselves. I would tell this kid that. So we're here to help. So if you would let them know and be a partner with me and let them know that God loves them and we love them and that we want to help them any way we can, let them know that if you see them, okay? And he goes, okay, I'll let them know. You know, and so, you know what? My first intent was like when I first drove up and saw all that graffiti was like, as well, but I had to, okay, God, I have to think differently. When I walk into a community and I know I'm dealing with people who frustrate me, I have to check myself before I go in that house. I have to check myself before I go into that classroom, before I go into that work, before I go into wherever my neighborhood, because there's an initial like, oh. But I say, okay, God, you got to let me think better. I got to think. I have to be understanding, and I have to reach these people. If I want to see this change, I have to change my attitude towards the people. I hope I'm not making sense of what I'm going. Okay, let me give you another example. The book of Jonah. Jonah was one that God calls to go into a city and to reach this community. Jonah wasn't rebellious because he just was rebellious. He knew the city of Nineveh, this large city, very, very not only large, but very international. There was a lot of people there. Therefore, when you get a lot of different people coming in, you have a lot of sin. And these people were violent people. And so he decides, as you know the story, he decides not to go into the city. And he goes the other way. I'm not going there. He goes, as a matter of fact, those people need to be killed. I don't want to go and try to save them. And so, you know the story. He gets swallowed by a fish. The fish eventually spews him out. He finds himself there. He works his way now to the city of Nineveh. He finds his place. Now as he goes and he starts communicating to the people, the Bible says a great revival took place. As you read chapters 1, you find out that he was obedient to God to do what he did because he learned his lesson in the stomach of a fish. But once God does what he says he would do, we see the clear attitude of Jonah. You see, God did a revival and he did something amongst the people and those people's lives changed. But Jonah still, he had an anger until things changed. If you could help turn, if you have your Bibles there. And Jonah, I'm going to jump all the way to chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and the fact that God did what he did. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, this is verse 1. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home, that this is what I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish? I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. He hated the idea that these people got the grace they got from God. He hated the idea that the very evil of evil people of that time, instead of God burning them up, God saved them. And, you know, we could look down on Jonah and say, man, he's not a man of God. He's not loving and forgiving and gracious. Sometimes you really think about it, it's like looking in a mirror. Many of us sometimes wonder, how come the wicked prosper? How come those that aren't serving you God at all, they end up always excelling? They have no fabric in them of being a godly person, and yet they seem to excel all the time. And so we get angry. And God wanted to save them. God wanted to reach them. How does it apply to what I'm talking about here? Is that, you see, again, it has to change. God is going to change that community with or without me. So that community will be changed as he reaches and finds someone to go in. But my life has to change. My attitude has to change towards the issue. My circumstance and the way I apply things to me have to change. I have to approach it in a different way. How do I approach it? What way am I talking about? The deeper I get into the ways of God, the deeper I learn about the things of God, the more you take on his nature. What did he just describe, God? I know you're loving. I know you're gracious. It's like, okay, God, maybe that's what I need to be a little bit more of. Do those people deserve to go to jail? Absolutely. Do those people deserve to go and never be blessed? Yes, they're horrible people. Now, I'm doing extremes. I'm looking at Jonah's story of Nineveh. I'm looking at an apartment complex that I'm trying to go into. But what about your community? The worlds that you're trying to see change, and the prayer requests that we're bringing, what about those places? In some settings, it's sad, but there are some religious people, I'll use the term religious people, and I've been in many churches that I've seen this, where they just, because of being a part of this church or being a part of that church or being a part of this faith, this denomination, this movement, that they feel that they're so much better than others because they say we have the truth because we're a part of this denomination or we're a part of this fellowship or we're a part of this. And there's this tendency to look down on everybody if you're not of. I have a lot of people, I got to be honest with you guys, I have a lot of people that don't like me. because I don't stand down. And when I see religious, pious people, I have a tendency to go and deal with them and share with them how wrong they are for thinking themselves better than anyone else. The whole story of James, as I read to you in the beginning, the whole purpose of his book, of his letter, was because he was coming against that spirit that you would think you're better because you're rich or you're from here or you're from there or you've got this or you've got that. And we neglect those that are in need. Our ability to see God move, our ability to see God do great things, is when we approach what God is going to do with His heart, with His mind. Let me read this part here in reference to having this ability, this gift. A lot of people have a tendency to not really understand, well, what does it mean to have that gift? What does it mean to have a gift of reconciliation? What does it mean to understand? How do I apply it? How do I use it? What happens when God wants to do something in my life, but how do I apply that to work towards helping other people? You see, you and I have this understanding that God is going to do something in each one of us, but He wants to help each one of us understand that you and I can do whatever God wants to do in our lives. God wants to do some big things that I believe are going to help each one. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Because the Lord reconciled us to Him, we now have this gift. You have the power, you have the ability to put back together that which once was. You could change the atmosphere around you to reconcile. Broken relationships, you can change that. You know, there's a friend of mine that he's a minister, and he came up with this slogan in a t-shirt, and a lot of kids bought the t-shirt at a conference. And the t-shirt stated this: I am your sign. Because everyone says, Lord, give me a sign. Give me a sign, Lord, that you're real. Just answer me, God. Give me a way. And those young teenagers who had just wanting God more and more were walking around with that t-shirt that said, I'm your sign. To be able to say like Paul, look, if you want to look at an example, look at me then. He's not saying he's perfect. He's not saying he's got it all together. All he's saying is, like, I'm doing my best. If you want to know what it means to a person who loves God and going all the way, look at my example. This is where I'm getting at. If you and I are willing to live in a fishbowl where we know, I got nothing to hide. God, I've given it all to you. Examine my life, look in, audit my life, do what you want, go in. There's nothing there. Everything, my past is my past. I've given it to God. I'm a new person. I'm a new creation in Him. God is doing something new in my life, and therefore, because of that, I have the ability. You and I as Christians, you have the ability to change everything around you, because there's nothing in secret. There's nothing in secret anymore. I've given it, God, here I am. You know how what I'm saying? That's really hard. Because we all got secrets, we all got ways, and we all got things about us that we don't want anybody else to know. But when you come before God and you say, Lord, forgive me. God, here I am. Lord, I want to see my world change around me. And I want to see now, as I've been a part of you guys now for 2.5 years, in and out, I want to see South Jordan, right? We've been praying. We've been praying, God, just do some great things. I've been ministering from Ogden to Provo. Well, now as I have a chance to be with you guys this morning and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing in South Jordan? How many actually live in South Jordan here? Okay. And obviously the rest of you just in the outside community. Harriman, right? Okay. And so outside communities. Lord, what are you doing on the south end of the valley? Lord, what are you doing in Salt Lake Valley? I want to see a change. I know none of you know the answer to this, but how many actual Bible-believing, God-fearing churches that preach Jesus are in South Jordan. I know good answer is not enough. Yeah. So we, this morning, man, there's a light shining from this place in the spirit realm. There's something happening in this community just because you're here. Doesn't it say, and we've talked about this, in Psalms 23, verse 5, that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. God doesn't need to bless you with overflowing because you're blessed just being filled. The overflowing is for everyone else around you. God, overflow me. Pressed down, shaken together. God, just that everything about me is oozing out, God, of you. I want what's going in out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. God, what's in here is going to come out. And the life around me, the neighbor, the person I go, the person I say hi to, whoever, and my work person, my good old buddy that I hang out with, whoever it may be, their life is going to be changed. Because of me? No, directly no, but because of Christ who lives inside of me. You see, Jonah eventually repented. And Jonah's life got it together. My hope for Lake Park, we can get something and just see a change. Having people that have a heart to want to see people turn their lives to God. This whole thing's about community. You know, next week, I'm going to hit continuing on this, and we're going to talk about St. Patrick, St. Patrick's Day. We're going to talk about one of the greatest missionaries that even to this day, the world is still talking about him. Now, the world may celebrate him in a different way, but the fact of that celebration is based on one man that, for every right, had the right to hate that world that he went into. He had every right to hate him because they abducted him, they tortured him, and yet he went back and he reached them. We'll talk about that next week, about St. Patrick. Let's pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I'm hoping I didn't lose you guys as I jump all over the place and just go. Ultimately, it's just the idea of understanding. Okay, if I want to see anything changed, I got to change. It sounds simple, it sounds basic, but it's hard. Because I'm always easy to say, you got to change and you got to change and I judge everybody and everyone, you got to change. No, I have to change. If I want to see something different, I got to approach this very thing in a different way. So let's stand right now. Let's ask God to examine our hearts. As the worship team is playing, I'm just going to share a few things. Lord, God, I know in this room right now, I'm not preaching to the congregation. I'm preaching to the leaders of this room. And that's everyone. And I pray, God, as we walk out of these doors into that parking lot, this community is the congregation. That we would be sent from here to go and reach this dying world and love on them and care on them. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see our communities change, starting with me. Let's worship God.